Gossip magazines are a guilty pleasure for many Australians. The salacious content and covers reeling us in for an indulgent read. But we usually head to them for the latest gossip, not really expecting 100% accuracy. So why have gossip magazines gotten away with breaking the guidelines of the Australian Press Council by so often blurring the lines between fiction and fact? In a surprising new development, a recent ruling by the Australian Press Council allows gossip magazines to continue their truth distortion, well known by publishing well-known lies of individuals, the royals and the celebrities alike, which is a major parallel to the APC's own guidelines. This morning on The Daily, we are joined by Andrew Dodd, the director of the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne, to unpack the implications of this landmark ruling, as well as what this means for journalism in Australia going forward. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning to you, and thank you for inviting me onto your program.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, I'll start by first asking, what was this ruling by the Australian Press Council? What did they have to say?
Well, the Press Council were asked to adjudicate by, as a result of a complaint lodged by an anonymous complainant about an edition of Women's Day in May last year, on the 27th of May, in fact, which declared on its cover, "Palace confirms the marriage is over, why Harry was left with no choice but to end it all." And inside was an article which basically said that Prince Harry was so fed up with all the revelations that were coming out about his wife's past that he has decided to end the marriage. And of course was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so flagrantly wrong that the Press Council could not ignore how wrong it was. It was so blatantly misleading that they had to come down with a ruling against it. But in the wording of the ruling, the devil's in the detail on this one, there are lots of ways in which they're saying, you know what, these magazines, let's give them a bit of a green light, let's lower the standards for them, and it's pretty well okay for them to exaggerate because people don't necessarily believe what's in them. And I don't think that's good enough.
Right. And the being the whole devil advocate, no one does really expect factual or accurate information from these gossip magazines. But as you said before, you don't think that's good enough to hold these different standards. Why do you think there is a different standard for in the whole sphere of journalism and then a different standard for gossip and entertainment magazines?
Well, I think there are two points there. The first is I just slightly take issue with the idea that nobody believes this stuff because, in fact, the Press Council said people don't necessarily believe it, which suggests that some people do believe at least some of it.
Okay, that's fair
enough. In fact, some people might even believe all of it. And I'm concerned for those people, and I'm concerned that we're misleading those people who might believe more of what's in these magazines than the rest of us. But I'm also curious as to why they have a different standard anyway, because the Press Council's own standards say that they should be trying to uphold accuracy and not misleading people. And yet in this publication they're saying misleading through the form of exaggeration, sensationalism, slightly conflating the real facts is okay. Why have they got a different standard? I think the Press Council's taking the same view as the rest of us. They're saying, you know, when you walk past a rack of these things in the supermarket and you see, you know, the same celebrities pregnant for the third time in 2 years, don't believe it. But I don't think that's good enough for the Press Council, not just because it's meant to be upholding press standards, but also because it's not really doing the right thing by its member publications, because it's not protecting them against the defamation suits that could come their way if they are having such lax standards.
That's quite true. Do you think there's a history of gossip magazines getting this green light?
Of getting what right, sorry?
Sorry, like the green light where they don't have the same standards.
Well, there obviously is a culture of that because they all flagrantly think they can do it. And you know, as I've said, I think they do it on an industrial scale. They just make up rubbish. Mm. And I don't know how these people call themselves journalists, to be frank. Mm. And at a time when journalism is under assault from all sorts of places, I don't want to be Pollyanna-ish about this. I don't want to recognise it. I don't want to ignore the fact that, you know, there is a culture of gossip. But this stuff is just schlock. It's trash. And how it can defend itself as journalism, I don't really know, to be frank.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And with that case that you just mentioned before with the Women's Day and the Royals, do you think the Press Council is giving a different message?
Well, I think any gossip magazine editor who read that ruling, and they all would have read it, mm-hmm. would have thought, okay, so when we make up crap about people, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it in a way which doesn't cross this line. We're not going to say things that are so blatantly misleading that when a complaint goes to the Press Council, it has no option but to rule against it. Now, that's if they take the Press Council seriously. Some of them don't. And Bauer Media, the publisher of these magazines, generally doesn't take the Press Council terribly seriously by the looks of things, even though it's a member of the Press Council. So I think what the Press Council has given them is a kind of how to mislead, how to exaggerate template that they can apply to other magazines. Mm. And they'll probably walk the, you know, the gauntlet and say, well, you know, what are the odds of us getting a complaint from the member of the public on this anyway? So let's just keep doing what we do.
Just quickly, because I do have to let you go, off the show, but do you think there should be a change?
Well, I would like these magazines to sort of lift their game a bit. I don't think they're going to do that unless they're told to do it, because they think there's an appetite for it. And unfortunately, I think the way they're going to be told how to do it is by the courts coming down with rulings against them. The Rebel Wilson case, the first adjudication on that was a damages claim of $4.5 million. It was reduced dramatically on the appeal, but none of these magazine stables have that kind of budget. So they are all running a risk, and the Press Council is not helping them in getting ready for those risks if they eventuate. So I reckon they should just lift their own game, to be frank.
Thank you so much. We've run out of time, but thank you so much for joining us and providing us insights on the gossip magazines.
Thank you.
That was Andrew Dodd, Director of the Centre for Advancing Journalism at the University of Melbourne, talking about a recent Australia Press Council ruling that raises questions about the extent to which gossip magazines must adhere to factual content.